Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, a thrilling start to conference play for the football team. We'll recap the big win over South Alabama. Men's golf turning in a dominant performance last week in their home event. Soccer and cross country also in action. But we're going to start with volleyball today. You know, they're off to a 13-3 start, 3-1 in conference play, and we're thrilled to be joined by a couple of players today. Sophomore from San Antonio, Texas, Caitlin Whitlock, and junior from Marion, Arkansas, a Northeast Arkansas native, Dadriana Kale. What's it like to hear 13-3 right now? Did you guys expect to be at this point?
I think it's so exciting. We've been putting in a lot of work from last season, and just seeing our record and the difference is just really motivating.
I can agree, coming from a program where I wasn't, you know, the happiest, and then coming and meeting these girls was like the best moment of my life. So I'm really excited just to be here.
I'm glad to hear. I mean, and they should be pleased with a 13-3 start, because I was scared you're going to ask them that question and they're going to be all ticked off about not being 14-2, because, and we'll talk about the way that the weekend unfolded. So I'm glad to see you guys are able to step back far enough to know that it's been a heck of a start to the season to this point.
Let's talk about this past weekend, and then we'll kind of go backwards, okay? So you guys go to Southern Miss. This is your first road test in conference play, and you win a thriller in five sets on Thursday night. And then on Friday, looked like you had a chance to sweep them and had match point a couple of times, ended up losing that third set, which I believe finished 31-29, yep. And they come back and win in five. So I know you wanted to win both matches, but KK, was it still a good feeling knowing you could go on the road and compete the way you did?
It was a tough loss for sure, but I think Southern Miss, they pushed us in a way we haven't been pushed this season, and we've definitely learned a lot from that game. And so definitely grateful that it happened, and excited to prove ourselves in the next match.
Day you ever played in two matches like that on back-to-back days? Just five set slugfest against the same team?
I have, but not to that like extent of like energy, just because like I said, at my old school, we didn't have that fight, and this team, we most definitely have that fight. And I'm just, like I said, lucky to be here and just be a part of this team.
From a fan standpoint, it's like to let y'all go best of seven. Like, you know, just play a whole seven match series and see who comes out on top. I think I know who'd come out on top.
So how draining is that, though? You play back-to-back nights and a total of 10 sets. I mean, is that pretty taxing on you as a player, Day?
I wouldn't say it's like really taxing, but it was kind of like mentally draining. But we push through what we push through, and like we have a great support system behind us. So I just keep that on my mind at all times.
I do want to let you guys tell your stories a little bit. And KK, you were here last year, and you talked about just how much improvement you've seen from last year to this year. So how significant is that improvement? Just how much better is this team than what you saw a year ago?
I think a year ago, I mean, we were a very young team. We were all freshmen, and we were just trying to figure out like our role in college volleyball and the difference we could make. And this year, the leadership, the way every one of our girls have stepped up, it's just been so amazing. It's just like we're all pushing each other in and out of the gym. So I think that's our biggest significance.
It's interesting how you got here, because last year you played a lot as a freshman, but I was talking with Ryan Gerwig earlier today, in fact, and he was telling me the story of how his late wife, Molly, actually recruited you. So tell me about that experience. What was your first impression of Molly when you met her?
She's so sweet. That was my first impression. Just like the school she was recruiting for, she's so passionate about volleyball and her players. And she was just really kind and welcoming. And just Brian reaching out to me, like I really trusted him and just made my recruiting process go very smoothly.
So this was several years ago. You were still in high school and she was recruiting for Houston Christian.
Yes.
But Brian ultimately ends up here. When he reaches out to you, how much did that relationship with Molly Gerwig kind of play into you ultimately coming here?
Actually, my old club coach had a good relationship with them, and me like just trusting her and like trusting like what they both like had in mind for their players and their culture, it played a huge role, and it just made me feel safe with my decision.
So who else was in that mix then? Arkansas State and who else? Like, who are we looking at?
My top two schools were Arkansas State and Gonzaga.
Those are opposite directions.
Yeah, very opposite.
And a long way from San Antonio.
Very far.
Day, I want to talk about your story a little bit as well. Now, you're a Northeast Arkansas native. You were All-State in basketball and volleyball, right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so were there opportunities to maybe play basketball at the next level, and why did you choose volleyball?
Yes, there was opportunities to where I could have chose basketball, but it was kind of a hard decision just because of the fact that I felt more adrenaline from the sport of playing volleyball than I did basketball, but also I had a more supportive team in volleyball in high school than I did basketball, which was really fun on both sides.
But is that a fancy way to say you liked playing volleyball more, or when it just came down to just playing? Which one?
I loved playing volleyball more.
Yeah.
I truly did. It was just an adrenaline rush for me. And basketball really just kept me in shape for volleyball season. So,
really?
Yeah.
Now, you did track too, right?
I did run track.
KK, what other sports did you play?
I did basketball and track as well.
But volleyball was the one you loved the most too?
It started off as basketball, but that quickly changed to volleyball.
Day, you had just the one offer coming out of high school though, right? Or did you have other offers?
I had other offers, but Little Rock was my only D1 offer out of high school.
Now, when you start looking at proximity to Marion, in fact, you already had a brother here too.
I do.
Coming out, did you want to come to Arkansas State?
Low-key, yeah. Like, I really liked the campus, and when I came for my visit with my brother for baseball his junior year, I fell in love with the campus instantly. It was just like a homey feeling, like, off the rip, and I wouldn't ask for more because I'm such a big family person.
Well, you went to Little Rock and All-Conference both years you were there, so was it family? You mentioned it wasn't really the situation that you desired. Were you just looking for a new environment? And how appealing was the move to Arkansas State?
I was really looking for just a new environment because, like you said, it wasn't, like, the best. But, like I said, I'm grateful for all the opportunities I get. Family-wise, like, yes, my brother goes here too, but these girls are my sisters, and I wouldn't want them to go anywhere else.
So Coach Gerwig was not the head coach here during your recruitment. So when it came time you were going to then go in the portal, what did you already know about him, or how long did it take you guys to get connected?
So actually, funny story. I met Brian at a baseball game when I came down here to support my brother from Little Rock. And we had a small conversation, and it was like I instantly fell in love with what he was talking about. I truly trusted Brian, and it just felt like a home vibe, and that's all I've been wanting. So once I hit the portal, I was just like, Arkansas State's on my list. Like, I really pray to God that they reach out. But then Jordan actually texted my brother and asked him for my phone number, and that's how they got in touch with me.
It sounds like it was meant to be, with Daedric already being here. I was telling you off the air, I was out watching the baseball scrimmage yesterday and saw your brother hit a home run in that game. But how has he made this transition easier for you?
He makes it a lot easier just because when I came in the spring, I didn't know the girls that well, but I could always like call him or text him and just like ask for reassurance, just to be like, this team is going to be your team for the next 2 years, and you're going to love them as much as they're going to love you, and you just got to trust the process. So I just trust the process, and I love where I'm at. I really do.
KK, what did this one kind of add to the mix when she came in?
Day brought so much to our team that we were missing. Energy, the way she like owns the net and just the power, the kindness she brings on and off the court, adding her has just been like such a big help and positive to our team. We're very grateful for that.
Sarah Martinez was in on this podcast about a month ago before the season started, and I know she's a big part of the team as well. And she said, hey, in practices, and I remember her mentioning both of your names, but she said it was just a different vibe in practice. And she felt like this could be a special team even before you guys even played a match. Did you kind of sense that, KK?
100%. Like the way me and Day compete in the gym and the way all of us compete in the gym together, it's just like, it's amazing, and it just feels great to be alongside these girls.
We were talking about baseball, watching the Dodgers-Padres game last night, and there was an incident where a fan threw a ball on the field, and there was a delay in the game for about 11, 12 minutes because it was toward a player. And anyway, that's always kind of concerning when something like that happens. And I mentioned that because there was an incident earlier this year, Day, where somebody threw something at you on the road. Is that right?
Yeah, someone threw something from the stands. It was crazy.
What was thrown?
Is that all you got to say about that?
Well, they threw like a gum wrapper at me, and like it really made me upset. Like I literally put my foot on the gas for the rest of that game. Like, because me, if something I don't like comes up, it's going to...
Gum wrapper, like a rolled up gum wrapper.
Yeah, I don't know. I started like... I scared my teammates a little bit, but I didn't mean to. But it was an unnecessary thing to happen. And I think for people to do that at a sports event, at any sports event, is very childish.
Yeah, it sounds like you... turn that into positive energy, though. And it's fair to say no, but was that your immediate reaction? Or did you think initially, I'm going to go after that person who did that?
Kind of both. Kind of both. I think them throwing that at me brought like the more potential, like the potential I have out in that game. And then, yeah, you know, I was telling Brian, like, if I ever find this person, they're going to be sorry.
So that was my next question. You didn't know... who? You just knew the direction it came from?
Yeah, I literally turned around, and one of the fans that was here to support us, I looked at him, and he was like, it wasn't me. So I was just like, he was like, it was someone behind me. And it, like, really upset me because I don't see why that should happen in any sports event.
KK, were you a little scared when she reacted the way she did?
I wasn't scared. I was worried for the other side of the court. I know it's a dangerous game when you get Day mad, so I wasn't worried. I missed what happened, but she went off, so she did good.
We don't see it all the time, Dave, but I want to ask, too, about that. I don't know if I want to necessarily get you to give me secrets away, but I'm always interested when you get to serve. Because, like, you do this thing where, like, it's all of a sudden, like, you serve it, and it's like when the ball crosses the net, it's like it weighs 15 pounds. I don't know how you do what you do, but it's very hard to handle.
I don't know how I do it either, but a lot of practicing in the gym, it takes a lot of time, so I just try to stay in the gym as much as possible.
And you, KK, you're over there nodding kind of halfway through that description. Like, I guess you got to be on the receiving end of some of those sometimes.
Yeah, we do. She definitely makes me a better passer back there.
Well, what are you doing? I need some sort of explanation. What do you do differently to make it have that effect?
Every time I go back and serve, I just pray on the ball. And I guess God takes it from there.
Just very, just like heavy is the description. Top spin, sinking, just like, and it's, by the time it gets where it's going, it's just a lot for somebody to try to handle.
All right, let's talk about going forward here. We're at the midway point. Obviously, you guys are off to a great start. How do you keep it going? And I know you got to be excited, KK, to be back at home this week. Got a couple of matches against ULM.
We are so excited to be back home. Back with our community, friends, family. I think the way we keep going is we respect every opponent and we just push each other wherever we are, like on the court, in film, in the classroom. And I just think staying disciplined is how we're going to get it done.
What do you think, Day?
No, I totally agree. Like, I feel like discipline is how we're going to stay on this steady track we're on and, you know, just keep pushing ourselves, like she said, in the gym, in the classroom, and off the court also. Like, it's just a steady movement from here to the end of season and on to Sunbelt Conference, and we're planning on taking it all the way there, and no one's going to stop us.
You know, we did have a 44-match win streak against ULM. Did you know about the streak before last year, KK?
I learned about it after our game.
After the loss?
Yes.
All right. Time to start a new streak.
Yes,
which
sir.
That still is just mind-blowing, yeah, that you can beat somebody 44 straight times in anything. But that's what the streak was until the loss last year. So time to start a new one.
Yes, sir. Definitely time to start a new one.
Thank you all for coming in. This has been fun. And great to get to know you guys a little bit, and can't wait to see you this weekend.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Great to have you in here. That's Caitlin Whitlock and Adriana Kell joining us in studio. The Second to None podcast continues right after this.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars.
Bring a vehicle?
Get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T Club.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Wolves up.
And we welcome you back to the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Football team hosted South Alabama this past Saturday. It was homecoming in Jonesboro. And before we talk about the game, just an absolutely perfect day. It was in the 80s on October the 5th, which I can't remember many times we've had that over the years.
Well, I could tell you this to the point. It's actually the second year in a row. Now, that's all. Here's the only reason I know that is that, you know, I think about in terms of the times I've been in the job I'm in now. In 2022, my first season in this role, the weather was terrible. I mean, every home game
it was
terrible for something. It was either 114 degrees or the wind was blowing 80 miles an hour or it was raining. I mean, it was something every time. And then last year, it's like we got paid back and it was as good as it could have been every time. So much so that the hottest game of the year last year at home was homecoming. It was even warmer than the opener because the opener was unseasonably cool. So literally the hottest home game of the year last year was homecoming. And this one was close. Now, the opener was still hotter. I mean, I don't think many people would argue that. But it was plenty warm for, as you said, the first Saturday in October.
The attendance was a little over 21,000. And I ran into you before the game. And we were talking about just the atmosphere, the tailgate atmosphere, the Red Wolf walk. You said you thought it was as good as we've seen this year.
I did think there was more activity in Tailgate City than I had seen in the previous two home games, even though they were both good. You could just see more stuff going on out there, more tents set up, more people out there, and, yeah, made for a good Red Wolf walk. And those were encouraging signs that it was going to be good when everybody got inside, and it was.
Student section full again. And one comment I know I made to you was it was so great to see even more of those Greek letters on the hill. And then one thing you mentioned was some of those banners, yeah, that were made for homecoming were kind of put on the top of the bleachers on the other side.
Yeah, and facing out where you could see them, where the students could see them during the day from the pines, the homecoming banners. I mean, obviously that's pretty high off the ground, but they wanted to hang them in a place where you could see them from the pines, and that was kind of the only choice. So, yeah, it was another touch out there. Yeah, again, with 8 or 10 sets of letters on the hill, that keeps growing, so. Yeah, students were great, have been great, and again, they were there till the end, and again, that was a good thing because we needed them at the end.
I was really looking forward to the game on Saturday because I thought it was going to be a game that probably went down to the wire, two evenly matched teams, and I did not expect an 18-16 game. I don't know if many people did, especially with the South Alabama team that was averaging 41 points a game going in and who 2 weeks before in their conference opener scored 48 in Boone against Appalachian State in a blowout win. But, man, the defense was just phenomenal.
I had somebody ask me earlier today, and actually, maybe when we finish here, start trying to Google it. I mean, just I'd love to know how uncommon, how rare an 18-16 final is. I doubt we've ever seen one.
I think that was a first, an 18-16 final
and then,
for the Red Bulls.
You know, it's like somebody saying, not that we're condoning gambling here, but they're saying, look, if you're playing those one of those squares games in the Super Bowl and you get 8 and a 6, you wad it up and throw it away. You're mad. But this would have paid off.
It would have. I do want to talk about the defense because they were just so, so good all night. You know, they held them to 3 points in the first half, almost pitched a first half shutout. The only points of the first half for South came on a field goal as time expired in the second quarter. But it was great to see Justin Parks with his first career interception. Did a great job just leaping up, making the grab near the goal line. And first career pick for him, but we had talked a lot going into the game about just how well South Alabama protected the football. In fact, they were one of 6 teams in the country that had not thrown an interception this year going into that game. And Gio Lopez, their really good quarterback, threw his first pick of the year, and it was Justin who picked it off. How good is our linebacking core right now? You got those seniors, the 3 starting linebackers, Justin Parks, Char Willekes, Marvin Ham, all seniors. Their experience shows that the 3 starters combined for 33 tackles the other night. And you just have to think, where would this defense be without that linebacking core? Because it's as strong of a position group as there is on this team right now.
They have to do an awful lot in the middle. I mean, one of them's going to be wearing the green sticker, being, you know, getting communications. So they're in the middle for a reason, right? I mean, it's what they do in terms of communicating to the front end of the back end. You get to wear a lot of hats when you got to step up sometimes, and you either be the extra pass rusher or know when you got to drop backs. A lot happening for those linebackers. But as you said, they've all been up to the task and all played very well.
When I sat down with Butch Jones on Thursday, me and Grizz sat down with him Thursday afternoon for our weekly meeting, one of the first things he brought up as far as what he had been concentrating on was the punt game. He said, we've got to do some different things in the punt game this week, because they had Jamal Pritchett, who going into that game was the top punt returner in the entire country. He was averaging 28 yards per return. Well, Ryan Hiker, in a game where you had to control the field position in a low-scoring game, he was unbelievable. Our punter, 5 punts for a 47-yard average, and Jamal Pritchett had a combined 0 punt return yards on those 5 punts. So just a phenomenal job there. Clayton Amaya was fantastic kicking off, and Butch Jones even talked about right after the game how important that sky kick was at the end of the game, not allowing them to have a return to kind of maybe getting them 1 or 2 plays away from a possible field goal to win it. But so that was huge. He had a couple of touchbacks on the night too. And then Kloon Van Andel, a perfect 4 for 4 on the night. We'll talk about the game winner here in just a minute. But special teams, along with that defense, just really, really solid and gave the Red Wolves a chance.
Yeah, and a couple of those times when they went with the sky kick, the placement of those was right on point. I say that because there was one of those times we did one and, you know, hit the ground. So, you know, you're putting it in a good spot because, that's a live football there for a second that you put a lot of pressure then on South Alabama to go handle cleanly and maintain possession. So, yeah, special teams, again, in a close game and a low-scoring game can provide the difference, and they did for Arkansas State here.
Now, the offense, they were moving the ball for a good part of the night. We had over 400 yards of offense, but as anybody who watched the game knows, we just weren't finishing drives. Had the 3 field goals for our first 3 scores of the game. Look, we're down 10-9 midway through the fourth quarter, and then the offense finally able to find the end zone. And I loved the play call on 2nd and goal from the 5 because you got all 3 of your tight ends in the game. Got Manny Stevenson, and Miller McCrumbie, who both had really good games, but they split them out wide on that play. And Tyler Little, he kind of was running around in a circle there for a minute. It kind of looked like something the Kansas City Chiefs might draw up. Then he finds the back of the end zone. He's open. Jalen hits him. And that would be the only touchdown of the night, but it was huge because it came with just under 6 minutes to go, and it put the Red Wolves on top.
It was a good play call, and it was interesting to hear Coach talk last week on his radio show about those tight ends and honestly how thin they had gotten there, how it literally affected and flat-out changed the game plan at Iowa State because of the lack of availability of tight ends. So to see them kind of be able to do personnel-wise what they wanted to do down on the goal line in a big spot was fun to see.
Now we missed the two-point try, so up five. You know if South Alabama goes down and scores, they're going to take the lead. And once they got close, you're thinking our guys are going to bend but not break. And South is sitting in a third and 25 situation at the Red Wolves' 26-yard line. Great pressure on the quarterback, Gio Lopez. He heaves one up in the air off his back foot and lands in the arms of Jamal Pritchett. And with under 2 minutes to go, South Alabama's back on top.
Yeah, they scored two touchdowns, right? And one was on a bust, right? I mean, there's no denying that. But this wasn't a bust as much as it was a busted play in that, I mean, he did just have to fling it. And the guy that caught it wasn't who he was flinging it toward. He just kind of ran in there and grabbed it.
Yeah.
Just sort of a busted play. Like, I mean, and I say this as a credit to Lopez. You know, how many sacks would this defense have had Saturday night against anybody else?
Yeah, probably four or five. We ended up with one.
Yeah. It was really slippery, and you knew that going in, and that was an example of that where he just made something literally out of nothing and put him on top late in the game.
But I don't think, and Coach Jones mentioned this during the TV show on Sunday, he said there's not a lot of teams that would have bounced back from that. And with a minute 49 to go, down one, they responded with a two-minute offense that was just perfection. I mean, it was fantastic the way they just methodically moved the ball down the field. In fact, first six plays of the drive were completions of 7 yards or more. So you're getting 7, 8, 8, 11, 11. And just the way they so quickly went down and got into field goal range was extremely impressive. And then Clune Van Andel with the game winner, 10 seconds to go from 34 yards out, and A-State able to win it 18-16.
It's funny because, look, I mean, you absolutely, when you've already scored the points with 10 seconds to go, you know, you take them, but it's just funny that somebody with a lifetime contract, you know, you could have taken the first down and ran one more play and kicked it again, and you could have scored on the last play of the game if you were the biggest gambler in the history of gambling. But I think everybody was on board with the decision to turn down the penalty that on the, it was, you know, fourth and two or whatever. Remember, they jumped offside.
Yeah. Yes, take the points. Yeah. Like, we already hit the field goal. Take the points. Yeah, you don't mess around with that.
No, you do not. And good thing the Red Wolves did not and had to defend a couple of plays and get out of there.
Yeah, just great to see the celebration after the game. And I love that the team is heading straight to the student section as soon as they win now. And that student section was full again.
Yep.
It was really, really neat to see the other night. It ended a five-game losing streak to South Alabama. It had been since 2018 since we beat that bunch. And you remember at the start of the series, that was a five-game win streak against South. We had won six of the first seven, but South had controlled that series the last handful of years, and good to see us beat them again.
That was the longest win streak South Alabama had against any opponent.
Is that right?
That was snapped, yep.
The Red Wolves, 3-2 overall now, 1-0 in Sun Belt Conference play. We'll take a look at this week's matchup at Texas State when we wrap things up here on the Second to None podcast right after this.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.com.
FirstNationalBank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours. Welcome home. First National Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact, spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T, club.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our program right now. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Men's golf winning the Bubba Barnett at Ridgepoint last week. Ninth straight year they've won that event. The team finished a combined 42 under to win by 15 strokes. And how about our man Thomas Schmidt, Second to None podcast alum, setting the program record for low 54-hole total with a 19-under, 197. And he was the top individual in the tournament, gives him his third solo title of his career. He was also Sunbelt Golfer of the Week.
You know, Mark Taylor, who's the sports information contact for golf, he had posted a video of Thomas making a birdie on the 54th and final hole of the tournament. He gives a pretty big fist pump when he does. Kind of know him better. I still went back and looked at the scoreboard and I saw that thing. Well, man, did that get closer than it did? No, he won by 4 or 5 strokes, but he knew the program record. And he knew when he made that birdie putt, he had just broken it. And
well, good for him.
And that's why he had the fist pump when he could have 5-putted from 6 feet and still won the tournament. So I like that. He knew what the... It wasn't even, you know, where's the first tee and what's the course record? It was, where's the first tee and what's the program record for lowest 54-hole total? And he went after it and set it.
Golf team off for a few weeks. They're taking a little bit of a break before they take their big trip to Hawaii. That'll be their final event of the fall coming up at the end of the month. Meanwhile, women's golf will be hosting the Lady Red Wolves Classic that's coming up this next Monday and Tuesday, the 14th and 15th at Sage Meadows. We talked a lot about the volleyball team with Dadriana and Caitlin earlier, but they've got their matches coming up this weekend, Friday at 6, Saturday at 1 against ULM. Great chance to go out and try to see them improve on their 13-3 start.
Counting these two this week, I think they only have 6 home matches remaining. So don't let them get by. You know, I have a lot of people asking me about when they're home again and people wanting to check this bunch out. This is a golden opportunity because even the next time they're home in 2 weeks, it's on Thursday, Friday, lead into that busy, you know, October 26th weekend. So for a Friday night, Saturday afternoon, you've only got a couple more of those, and so don't let this one get by you.
Soccer team tied their lone match last week. That was at Texas State back on Friday. 2-2, the final in that one. That's a high-scoring game for our soccer team. Red Wolves now 3-3-3. Threes are wild with the soccer team. That's their record on the year. They're going to be at ULM on Thursday night, and then they'll return home on Sunday hosting Southern Miss at 1 o'clock. The number 2-ranked bowling team will begin their season coming up this weekend. They'll be at the Penguin Classic in Struthers, Ohio, number 2 in the NTCA poll.
Yeah, I think that was probably what was expected. Jacksonville State, the reigning national champs, number 1. A-State, reigning national runner-up, number 2.
A-State tennis in action this week. They'll be at those ITA Central Regional Championships in Memphis. Cross country, how about Jacob Pyatt? He finished as the runner-up in the 8K in Louisville this past weekend. He was second out of 279 participants. The men's team finishing 10th out of 28 teams. The women finishing 11th out of 29 teams in that event. And that leads us to football. Talked a lot earlier about this past week and the homecoming win over South Alabama, but Red Wolves playing the first of 2 in a row on the road this weekend as they travel down to San Marcos to take on Texas State. Kickoff at 6. Our coverage on the radio side beginning at 4, and it's going to be interesting. Texas State, the preseason pick in the league. Everybody's going to kind of think back to what happened last year, and the Red Wolves on their senior day blowing out Texas State 77-31. How much of a motivating factor is that going to be for Texas State this week? You would think a big one, but I'm looking forward to seeing how our guys respond. And it's pretty clear just how much grit these Red Wolves have after pulling off their second win of the season, where they've had to come back in the final 2 minutes. But our guys have shown a lot of fight, and hopefully they can go in there and have a good chance to win on Saturday.
And I love this right here. 14-point underdog on
yeah,
the
I was
road
kind of surprised
in a conference
at that.
Game. Honestly, I don't know that conversations like that ever come up over there, but it's fun for us to talk about. That's an awful big number. And, yeah, you know, Texas State had a couple extra days. And I know, look, we just had an extra week in terms of South Alabama. So that's, you know, neither here nor there. It's going to hit like that everybody somewhere along the way. But they've had a couple more days to recoup from that win at Troy. A couple of more days for them to hear about giving up 77 last year. A couple of more days to hear about the fact that the offense for Arkansas State went 17 minutes without touching the field, and still the team scored 28 points in that stretch.
Man, that was fun.
You start talking about, the 18-16 and stuff you don't see very often. But we'll never see
77-31.
We'll just never see it go down that way again, where your offense goes more than a quarter without getting on the field, and you score 28 points with them standing on the sideline. you can't really make stuff like that up.
No. That's a once in a lifetime right there, but certainly a game we'll never forget, and hopefully the Red Wolves will make another very good memory coming up this Saturday. Anything else we need to talk about here?
Two things for this week. If you're listening here and Friday hasn't rolled around, we're taking nominations for our Extra Yard for Teachers grants. You know, every year we give 6 $1,000 grants to area teachers. Applications for those close Friday. So you can go to astateredwolves.com/teachers and fill out a very brief application, either for yourself if you're a teacher or on behalf of a teacher you know and love. You can do that, astateredwolves.com/teachers. And then don't forget about astateredwolves.com/50-year-party, because on October 26th, we're inviting all former student-athletes from our women's sports back, giving you a free ticket to the game, free ticket to tailgate we'll have. And by the way, and then you look at that October 26th, if you've got a football ticket, in this case, you got a free football ticket, it already means you also have a free ticket to the basketball exhibition that morning, because a football ticket will get you in the basketball game or vice versa on October 26th.
All kinds of stuff coming up. And I'm really looking forward to that weekend with everything going on. And obviously, that's Hall of Honor weekend as well.
So kind of look forward and here for the first time. I mean, we're going to have volleyball Thursday, volleyball Friday, Hall of Honor Friday, basketball Saturday at 11, tailgate party for the 50th anniversary of women's sports, tennis is home Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, football on Saturday night, and then soccer senior day Sunday.
Yeah.
It's Red Bulls weekend.
Can't get your sports fix in that weekend. I don't know what else we can do for you.
Not a lot.
Thanks to Caleb Garner for setting up that interview with both Deidreana Cale and Caitlin Whitlock. Really enjoyed having Day and KK in studio. Good luck to them this weekend and their matches against ULM. For Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody.